Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, super bike racer, actor, model, and stuntman, Kate Currier.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Marco Aiello. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to this show. I have, well, I was going to say I have two friends in the studio, but technically I have all my friends are in the studio, actually. So I have friends in the studio.
There's a couple that aren't here.
But, that's true.
But we're all friends.
Right. I meant everybody that's here is a friend. Actually, everybody that's here is more like family. So this is awesome. And, you know, it's interesting talking about everybody that's here. I went to see an opera this weekend. Now, I had a friend of mine bought me the best seat in the house. And I had never had that seat. I never bought that seat for myself. I had never, no one had ever bought it for me. It was just like the most expensive seat. And as I was sitting in that seat, I had a moment of remembering the times when, especially as a little boy, going to concerts or what have you, sneaking to an empty seat while it was dark and all that, and feeling all that time like I'm not supposed to be here. And here I was with a legitimate ticket in the best seat in the house and still feeling like I'm not supposed to be here. And it's not that I didn't sit there and enjoy it. It was not like I didn't take it in. It was just that I was thinking, isn't this an interesting analogy that so many people feel like I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be this, or I'm not supposed to be that. I wasn't supposed to be a father yet. I wasn't supposed to be a mother yet, or I wasn't supposed to have three children, or I wasn't supposed to have this job, or I wasn't supposed to end up here, or I wasn't supposed to live in this town. And I was thinking that moment, I did enjoy the opera, by the way, and I did get to watch it, but in my mind, it was able to race on, especially afterwards, saying, that feeling is not unknown to me. That feeling is something that I have been feeling all my life, like I should have been this, not this. It should have been now, not then. It should have been here. It should have been there. And it became to the point where I was like feeling everybody else's I shoulda, because I, especially as a life coach, I see so many people walking around uncomfortable with where life put them. And so, interestingly enough, last Thursday we started our men's group life coaching boot camp, and how one of the men said that he was a happy old man, and I said, "Oh, okay," and he said, "I am," and I said, "Okay," and I didn't say any more because I, as a life coach, I wanted to help him bring out, but I didn't know how much he was going to bring out in front of the group. And then he said, "Okay, I'm 64 and I hate it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do and I don't know how to be this way. And I feel like I'm naked now in front of everybody." And it was like, Cade is shaking his head because he was there and he remembers. And it's like, there it is. And I said to him, that's it. That we're not comfortable in our seats, whether we bought them or whether they were gifted to us or whether we snuck in the dark or whether, you know, it was dark and we didn't know where we were sitting. When the lights come on, it's like, who are we? What are we doing here? And the interesting thing about our two guests coming up today is that both of them are extremely talented in two different fields, or more than two different fields, actually, many different fields. And one of the common themes are that people expect me to be this way, or they say, how did you become that when you're really that? And we're not giving ourselves and each other the breath, the leeway, the opportunity to sit in our seat and just say, well, at least for this moment, I'm here. And this is who I am, and this is what's happening. But we're going to hear what's happening from our two guests. We've got Cade Currier here. Then we've got Marco Aiello. Marco is our musical guest and Cade our guest. All happening here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. And Mark, I'm sure you didn't resonate with that at all.
You and I have talked about this so often. And you know that I've asked that question. You know, we talk about some of the people that we've heard that mention, you know, if money were no object or quotes like that. But I've asked, you know, the question I ask is, what is your love? You know, bliss, people use different words for it, but what is your love? What is that actually makes you light up? And what you're saying as far as feeling everybody else's wants or wishes, people don't even realize now or don't even remember what it is that they wanted or what they were, what they aspired to be, what they planned on being.
Exactly.
They've gotten so disconnected. So as you were saying, it really did resonate.
And that's the analogy of like, you're in this seat. Just take this moment and look around you. This is where you are right now. This is your seat. And if you want to move, that's okay. But at least acknowledge that you're here. There's something about that. That's, I think what Eckhart Tolle would say, being in the now. But a lot of people don't understand that. Because like, what does that mean? And that's what it means. Sit down.
You should have wrote the power of the seat.
Stillness.
Take your seat. Yeah.
That's what I'm told. Be reminded of every day, stillness.
Stillness, yes. Well, we'll talk about Cade while you're reminded of that every day, because our guest is Cade Currier, who is a motorcycle road racing champion, turned actor, model, stuntman, turning yoga instructor, Reiki master, integrated health and nutrition, blah, blah, blah. We're going to find out more. I don't mean blah, blah, blah. But welcome, Cade, to the show.
Thank you for having me, Filippo and Mark. Honor to be here.
It's so good to here. Have you. So, and you have no idea what we're talking about, I'm no, sure.
No, I don't. I do have a little bit of an idea, and I'm super excited to just be nervous about it and just take whatever's coming.
So. Well, you know, speaking of nervous about it, I met you actually on a boat.
You right? On a boat, and I hate boats.
And
by
you
the
hate
way.
Boats? Oh, really? Okay. Well, so that would be like you to be on something that you hate just right. So you could get over something.
Yeah, it was all about the fear, I guess. I don't hate boats, but my practice is all the crazy things I do, I'm gonna fear the ocean because it's way overwhelming. With a lot of the stuff I've researched back in history and just through life.
But there are monsters in
there's,
the ocean.
Is there's monsters in the ocean.
this
some
is actually...
as a child, but you know, more as an adult, and I kind of resonate with that. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna stand on the beach and appreciate the fear.
This is perfect because I was actually in talking with you before the show with Filippo, I was gonna say, you know, after hearing all the things that you've done and all the things that you're now going to share with us, why don't we start with something that you haven't done or don't like? So it's
there
perfect,
it is.
Perfect
there's the one. There's the one.
Well, so here we are on the boat, and you're nervous. And I started getting nervous as I'm listening to your story, and I thought, this is a great story. We have to have this on the show. And then I don't remember. That was months ago. And then we got to know each other, and the story's getting better and better as we go. So.
Thicker and thicker.
And it still continues. So let's share a little bit of the part that had us all riveted. So you're on a bike.
I'm on a bike. Well, I guess I started that
at three, know, right?
At three. I was essentially born on a motorcycle. You know, my mom was pregnant with me, had a Triumph, and was riding around on a Triumph with me in her belly. And then when I was born, my dad would put me on the tank of this Harley and ride me around the airport at a year old. And, you know, back then it was, I guess, all right to do. And then for my third birthday, I got a Honda Mini Trail C70. And I started riding that.
How was the transition from the heart in the tank to the...
It was great, except I had these... I was already a stuntman right out of the box. So I had this idea that I could ride like this, and I drove it right through the garage.
Oh, unbelievable. Wow. He's got his arms crossed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I had my arms crossed. Yes. Right hand on the left side on the right, and that didn't work.
But you could do that now, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, now I do standing on the seat, no hands, and stuff like that.
And so more, yes.
It's gotten me that far. But... I thought at a young age, my life had to be around motorcycles because that's almost all I knew. And that was the safest thing for me, you know, with the ups and downs of childhood and broken families and all that stuff a lot of people go through. That was my one true. And at 16, I found my way into motorcycle racing. I found my way into all this stuff, and I earned my way to it. And I started racing motorcycles and just was really good at it.
There's the high of actually doing it, being really good at it, and then getting all the attention that you got on top of it all.
Equally.
Awards and
awards and
audiences.
But there was a lot of bad to that when you don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And that was all of a sudden quickly the battle was how to handle this attention. And I guess now I can say I didn't do it right or wrong. I just did it. And it got me pretty far. So next thing I know, I'm racing for a factory team. I have so much more to give than just racing. So I was like, all right, I'll build the bikes. I'll do this. I'll do whatever. So I was driving track trailer, building motors, doing way more than I could ever handle. And then in 2000, we were rocking. My best friend, he just won the national, one of the biggest nationals in the country. We're loving it. And then the following race was at Laguna Seca, and he got killed coming out of turn two of a high. So it was very tragic, but I was devastated. I my whole life stopped right there, and I was like, all right, I quit the team. I was like, I'm going to focus on business, going to focus on me. I have a daughter, which I'm pretty sure you know about.
I do. She's beautiful.
So I went and focused that way, and then I came back into racing, and July 7th rolled around again. And I decided to go do a tribute race to my friend, Jamie, at our local track. And it was just a club race. I was like, I'm going to go. I announced to 3,000 people that, hey, I'm here. I'm not going to enter the race. I'm not going to qualify it. I'm just going to run it. And this is a tribute race to Jamie. And so I got on the track, same bike, same race team. We were running for Suzuki. And coming out of turn two, just as he was, somebody crashed behind me. And we came around the track, and at that speed, it was a blind corner. It was about four people in front of me. A couple went low, a couple went high, and I hit that crash bike and the corner workers head on with no visibility of anything. And my heart stopped twice on that track that day and sent my life into a catapult of you name it. I mean, I'm still playing it out till this day right now.
So when he says his heart stopped, we use that expression, but he's not using that expression. He means his heart stopped, it stopped beating. And now I know you've had other accidents and other tragedies, but this one was the most tragic, right?
This was the one.
And so everybody saw that happen, and I think it was on TV.
It ended up doing over the couple years, I ended up doing 20 TV shows on it. I did Maury Povich. I did all the crash.
Oh, so that was afterwards. Yeah,
it was after the crash.
Well, and let me guess, they were into the sensation part of it.
It was the sensation of obviously seeing all that on camera, and then it wasn't until the tail end of these conversations or interviews that I had that they saw the spiritual and the energetic aspects.
Well, don't tell us if you survived yet.
Okay.
let's leave them in suspense. No, but actually, you were in a coma.
I was. For the first part of it, once they got me going on the track, I was immediately put into a helicopter and to a brain trauma clinic. But I was so violent when they had me on the machines that I was wrecking things. I don't want to say anything inappropriate, but the men I was trying to cannibalized pretty much. And the women, I was trying to go another way because of the part of the brain that was injured. And so they induced me into a coma. And there wasn't real a whole lot of information on how long I was in the coma or what part was medically and what part wasn't.
When we come back, actually, some interesting things happened while you were in the coma, and which led to probably this
sitting
moment.
Sitting right on this couch right,
right here on the big purple couch at Studio NoHo. On the Life Changes show, we'll be right back with our guest, Cade Currier, and his fascinating, heart-stopping story right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down, I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. We are talking with our guest, Cade Currier, about a fascinating story we're going to get into right after I tell you that our musical guest is Marco Aiello. And in the meantime, you could also go to Cade Currier, K-A-Y-D-C-U-R-R-E-R.
I-E-R.
I-E-R. Did I miss the I? Okay, so K-A-Y-D-C-U-R-R-I-E-R.com, CadeCourier.com, and learn more about him. And we're going to be learning more about him, like, right now. So, you know, that whole story that you shared had us all riveted. And then the part where I just, like, started to, like, wow, as horrific as that is, then you said something happened in the middle of a coma.
Something did happen. I was, on the track, I was out of body. I could absolutely see everything that was going around.
Oh,
I could see
that.
The guy.
Wow.
I could see the guy that I hit. You know, I hit his bike, but he was off to the side. I saw him on the track and was up at a higher level, and I was looking down on my body, and I could see all the commotion going on.
See, now that's just it. Here's a guy. This is not how you were raised. You weren't, like, raised spiritual or da-da-da, you know. And you're telling this. Like, it happened.
Absolutely. And then it kind of went very bright, and then it was nothing but peace. I can't explain it anymore. I didn't really see a figure. I didn't see anything, but it was all I can say is I was in the hands of God, that's it. That's all I can say, because there was no, what I now know to be ego. I had no pain. I had no pleasure. I was not looking for something. I didn't feel a sense of loss. It was the most serene and the most complete thing I've ever felt. It's almost going to make me cry right now, how amazing it was. And I don't know how long it lasts, at that point, but I could always go back to it, and I could remember it. And to this day, I can remember how that feeling felt. And once I started coming to, which was months later, not that I was in a coma, but have you ever seen that movie 51st Dates? where Drew Barrymore wakes up every day and doesn't have the same memory. Everybody around me said that. They were like, that was you. That was you. And I was, you know, I was so numb in life that I couldn't really comprehend anything. Mm. It wasn't until almost 2 months later that I realized I had $1 million a year business. Plus, I was a pro racer for this. And
so like amnesia.
Didn't remember. And I have video of it to this day. There was about 40 people in my parents' living room. And we're all sitting around. It's of me. I'm not taking the video. And I'm sitting on my hospital bed that they made their living room into a hospital room for me. And I got all these people around. They're telling me and they're laughing with me. And I get up and I'm going to the bathroom. And I walk by this mirror. And I'm like, what happened to my face? My face was, I lost a bunch of teeth. Mm. So they sat me down and explained it to me, and then I would go to the bathroom and I'd sit there and scream at him and be like, you're lying. I was not racing a motorcycle. I did not crash. I'm a pro rider. I'm this and this and this. And then I would go to the bathroom. I come back. I walk by the mirror again. I'd be like, what happened to my face? And they'd have to sit me down all over again.
Wow.
Once it started to stick, I remember one time I was in a hospital gurney, and I remember I had a business. I blasted out the door, hopped in my mom's truck, driving to my business, and I'm standing there half naked. And I'm like, this is mine. This is all mine. And so much tragedy that end happened with it. That was just, I wanted to stay in the hands of God forever, you know? And I got really bitter for a while about not being there and racing motorcycles and doing the things I do with stunts. It was very easy to exchange it. So now I had a death wish, and everybody around me were all pro riders of some sort. They didn't even want to ride with me. They were like, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Stay away. You know,
wow.
We don't want to be a party to that. And that was really the part. So.
Well, should we stay away?
No, don't stay away. I mean, don't ask people these days how I ride. I do ride like a top level, but I'm much, much safer. I'll take you for a ride on my bike.
I will.
Okay.
I just got.
When you get back, then I'll go.
Blood just went to my head. Like, what? I've seen some of the stuff you do.
That's one of the biggest requests from guys and girls is take me for a ride on your bike.
Sure.
Take me for a ride. And I'm like,
yeah,
they want to experience it for a second, I guess.
So. I get that. Well, talk about the light actually thing might have been a second too, you know, but there is no time actually when you're in that state.
Right.
So that second is in that second, I know it took time to eventually get to all the things that you're doing now, but it was what that made you say, I'm supposed to do something else with my life.
It was really that hunger of not knowing what all that meant. But at first, it was my hunger of just understanding what is all this about, you know. And that put me in such a place where I was a little bit angry, but more vulnerable in it all because I didn't know. And I'm just sitting here, this big sopping mess, not even really able to understand my thoughts now because I don't know what's up or down. I don't know anything because I rattled my brain pretty good. So I had a customer that came in, you know, I got a lot of people coming around and this one guy said, you know what, go to this place and just fall apart there. And it was, you know, I wasn't religious at all or anything. It was a Catholic monastery. He was like, just go. It's beautiful. There's stonework everywhere. He's like, just go there. So out of habit, I was like, you know what, I have nothing to lose. So I went there every day at 3:30. And lit three candles over, three candles up, three candles down, and just prayed. I didn't know what to pray about. I didn't know who I was praying to. I didn't know what. I was just, it wasn't, I need to win the lottery. It wasn't, I need to do this. I just didn't know. You know what I mean? I was like, obviously, you know, I built this business and it doesn't feel right. You know, I didn't feel like I was contributing to anything anymore.
Mm.
And that left me with a big question mark and not just not knowing. And there was so many other variables I don't know if you want to get into, but I was ready for anything. So whatever the next opportunity was, I was taking it, no matter where it was. I would say I want to be in LA and I want to be a successful actor and I want to be these things, but what is it? Because I'm sick of everything blowing up in my face. So what is it? So I went on a journey where, and really wherever it led me, you know, and it led me a lot of places. You know, it led me straight to LA. It got me in a couple movies in 2003, 2004. And I was like, this is it. And then at the last second, I backed out of that. And I was down in Florida racing again, which put me, you saw this part of my body, you know, which put me pretty much on life support again.
Yeah, he's like, here, look at my shoulder. And he's got this bone over here. And this is like, and so some of the things that he's doing now, that comes into play. And you're like, I push through it. It's like you're taking, so he's pushing through. Okay, I shouldn't say this yet. So you've done stunt, you've done movies with all this stuff, and now you started, or not now, but in the past few years, you've done Reiki, you've done integrated health and nutrition, and become certified, not just done. I mean, you become certified, yeah. And now you're getting certified in yoga, and you're approaching all of this, and you're taking my life coaching boot camp, and you're taking all this stuff all at once, like you're racing.
Like,
I mean, it's
warrior,
like you got to get it all, like a warrior.
That's just it. And I don't know where that drive and hunger comes from, but even my biggest thing, which I didn't think was going to be, is yoga. You know, I didn't realize that. I spent the first half of my life, I'm like, yoga? I was like, what am I going to go do yoga for? I jump street bikes and I do this and I do that. You're going to see me on a mat? My life kind of got to a point where I was like, this is the way. And I'm like, all right. So I approached yoga just like I was approaching racing, you know, all out, all passion, all love, all focus, all determination. So I got going really good with that. Like 7 days a week, and then my shoulders give out, and which is from racing injuries. So that sent me into a whole nother emotional, now what? Now I got past stuff coming up affecting my future stuff. And then I kind of sat, I asked some questions because I didn't understand when somebody said, I don't have full range of motion in my shoulders. I was like, well, what do you mean? I was like, does it mean your shoulders just don't go that far? Or when you go that far, they hurt? Because I couldn't understand, because I was like, yeah, my shoulders go all the way back. It feels like I'm getting my arms ripped off, but I still have that range of motion.
And I'm just going to do it.
I didn't know what that meant. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go through it. I'll just tape it up and I'm just going to keep going, which I did. And I've actually fought through 3 injuries right now through yoga, and I'm on the way back up to it. So it's, I guess this is a drive.
I guess it,
backed by passion, anything's possible. And that's what I keep in my mind, is that everything is possible. You know what I mean? And
next will be yoga, street bike racing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he already stands in the seats. Right?
Yeah. And I've actually done some cool things. I used to drive my dog around on my motorcycle. That will be the next. That will be the next thing. I definitely think they go hand in hand now. You know, if I can just get
Warrior 1 90 miles an hour.
If you can just fit a mat on top of that gas tank, we'll be in.
Well, you know, and that. The thing that I think is great is that you're still wanting to do so much more with the combination of all of that. See, because kids always looked up to you because of how cool it was, the racing, and you were a champion at that, right? And so what I think is great is that combining that, because it's still you still build motorcycles or work on them, right? And you don't have that business as much, or you do actually
I do.
Have that business.
I do. The where this whole shift was I was looking at my life, you know, and I was building great bikes, but they're essentially dangerous machines, especially in the world today in LA. I was looking at acting and I was looking at film, and I was really, something still wasn't sitting well with me. It was, where's my contribution? Where's my contribution to lift people up? Right. Not by a cool film or by this, but saving a life, stopping, you know, changing somebody's outlook. Because I've seen some dark places in this world, and I've seen people suicides right in front of me, and I've seen it. And I'm just like, where? And that was always the darker part of me, is where is that contribution?
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention
There's a bunch we have not mentioned so far. And I'm just, I don't even know how to get to it.
I don't even know if we can. The biking clubs and the all of that. The
motorcycle clubs. Yeah. And, I mean, that was and my ticket that. Into LA, you know, and I...
And you see a lot there. Actually, hold on to that. We'll be back. We'll talk more of that. And of course, we're not going to be able to get to all of it. And it's not all on his website either. But one day, I'm sure it'll all be in a book.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
But Cade Currier, KaydCurrier.com. And when we come back after that, we're going to speak with him a little more, and then we're going to have Marco Aiello as our musical guest, all here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and we're having a great conversation here with Cade Currier. And where's it go from here?
Where it goes from here, really... I want to continue, you know, mastering yoga. I actually have a couple other projects I'm taking
You're becoming a yoga instructor,
A
right?
yoga instructor.
Yeah.
Plus nutrition therapy, you know, healing with foods.
Right.
Reiki. I want to be a three-level master on that. I'm an advanced level on integrated energy.
Well, for that, you need to talk to Dorothy.
Which we're already underway on that. I think we already have an appointment set up for that. But my next stuff is I'm starting to study Qigong, Tai Chi, and something called Falun Dafa, which is the top echelon of that, where I've seen people actually move things with energy, start fires with energy. You know what I mean? It's everything's possible, you know.
Could you just see him learning all that stuff?
I can see him doing it.
The number one is I want to help people on a different level. You know what I mean? I definitely know I can fix your car, your bike. I can custom build some cool stuff. I can build your house.
Qigong energy.
He welds
right,
with Qigong
energy. Right. Well, now I can start your fires with my hands. And it's not really me. It's, I think, my calling, you know what I mean? Because why else would I be on this crazy journey of life learning all these things and mastering all these things? Because the only guilty part of that right now is not applying them, you know what I mean? And all right, now you have all this stuff. How are you going to use it? So that's the next step.
You're definitely on path, and you've met some fascinating people along the way. You've from all walks of life. From all walks of life. And that's the interesting thing is that the picture we ended up choosing for, I wanted to show, you know, you in your motorcycle gear. And the only picture that had the resolution and everything that we needed was this angry looking picture of you. You look like you could tear somebody apart in that picture.
That's my angry pose. That picture actually right there got me doing stand-in and stunts for Chris Hemsworth in a movie.
Well, there it is. They have good taste. Well, it's we're talking about Cade's page on the lifechangesnetwork.com website, where if you just put in his name, or he's actually comes up right away right now. It's such a popular page already. And so there's you. And then here you are, you know, Qigong and kimchi and Reiki and all this other stuff I'm playing. But
yeah.
So I'm just curious, because if you say it here, things seem to happen when people say it here. It's like, so you see yourself on stage among everything, you know, amongst everything else that you're doing. Let's just picture you on stage for a moment. And what are you saying to like kids or to young adults? Or because guys listen to you. I mean, women listen to you. People listen to you.
I would start by saying, stay centered. Stay heart-centered is the thing I would say, is really find out what it means, wow. What love really means.
That's the get in your seat thing that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's it. Is
sit down.
Know what that really means without the ego and without the attachment, and then just build from there. Because it took me so many times hit my head at over 100 miles an hour, and tragic relationship endings and business dealings ending, and thinking I have a TV show in the bag and it falling apart. And it always brings me back. And I'm like, what the heck is so common about all these different situations is they were all ripping my chest open and making me vulnerable to learn, to expand, to grow. And the people I've helped along the way and the people that actually showed up in my life that helped me along the way had this amazing chemistry and this relationship that just helped more and more people. So if I was to be on that stage, which one day I hope to be, it would be taking all these things, you know, the laws of attraction and the laws of manifestation and everything, and putting the centered intention behind it, and then just go and doing it. You're going to save a lot of time on the path, and you're going to save a lot of headache and heartache, and you're going to learn. That's where it would start.
Because you've had your successes in business and obviously in relationships and all of that, and then you've had your tragedies, as you say, and of course successes in racing and all that. With the successes and the tragedies, which would you say you've learned the most from?
The tragedies.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Do you think there's a way we can turn that around? Because I'd hate to think that more of us have to experience more tragedies, like you, for example.
I think that's what this is about, you know, because what is that common? As you know, I was doing the stuff when I was celebrating the successes. I was partying like a rock star and I was living like one. It wasn't until the tragedies happened that the ego and everything went away, and my chest literally felt like it was ripped open, and they're exposing my heart and exposing all the fine, delicate sides of me is when I learned, and is when I expanded, and is when I grew. And it's those parts of getting past all that stuff and then being in a place where you're open. You know, anybody can read a book and think they're applying it, but they're applying it on top of their egos or applying it on top of all these things. It's not until you get to the core of it where it's really going to do the work, you know, because 10 years later, you're going to find yourself in a career you might not want to be in based on an ego and a thought you had back then. And now you're rewriting everything, and you're rewriting it. When you rip yourself open first and get to that core and then build from there, everything else will fall in line, you know, it will happen with love, you know.
Wow.
It's my thought on it.
Your thought's very important, and it's a very good thought. And I just made a connection, actually. At the beginning of the show, I talked about the man who said he thought he was a happy old gentleman. And then he said, actually, no, I hate it. I'm 64, and I don't know how to be 64. And now I feel like I'm naked in front of everybody. Well, the interesting thing about you is that you share like you at whether you're having a good day or a bad day, you're sharing it. So it's not like you won't be a 64-year-old man unless you change, and you are going to change. You're just going to get more cade, but you're sharing that tragedy or that success as it's happening. So it's like you're not going to be 64 and say I don't know how to be 64 and I feel like I'm naked in front of everybody. You'll have,
well, it's something you got through the challenge, right?
Yeah.
And I've been through my own version of the story, and nothing like yours, but it seems like you, when you go through those challenges, that's where you, once you own that vulnerability,
that,
right?
That's it. Everybody's vulnerable at some point, but it's once you take it and just say, you know what, I am vulnerable and I'm going to share it, you know, for gain or loss, this is it, this is me, and I'm going to share it, you know, and I do. Sometimes people brand me as nutcase, but I share it, you know. I think there's always something to be learned, you know. I love hearing people's stories, and people get floored when they hear mine sometimes, and I don't know what else to say, but I will stay, and I will not give up, and I will be here to fight another day in that sort of sense, you know.
Well,
I'm being called the warrior at yoga and stuff.
Really?
So,
do you know your shirt says warrior?
Well, that's why I wore it, actually. Okay. If you look down at the bottom, it says spiritual warrior.
Oh, does it really? Oh, okay, cool. Well, actually, we'll be taking pictures a little later here, and so when we post them up on Facebook and other places, people get to see your shirt that says warrior on it. And well, looking forward to hearing more stories from you with less tragedy, maybe, and more more of this good stuff.
They will be entertaining.
I'm not going to say it wasn't all good. I'm just saying that what am I saying?
More good stuff.
More good stuff.
There is a lot of good stuff.
There is a lot of good stuff. And we'll get to talk more about that. Actually, Kate, it's always good to see you. Thanks for coming on the show. And let's continue this, and we'll share more with people as you develop it. In the meantime, we're going to go to a commercial, and we'll have Marco Aiello as our musical guest joining us right after this. Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back, and after an inspiring interview with Kate Currier, we have Marco Aiello in the studio. Welcome, Marco.
Thanks for having me.
You know, that name sounds so Italian. Is it just me?
It's just you. No, it's a Japanese name.
It could be. That'd be more like
our first Italian guest.
Yeah, our first Italian guest. And actually, he's probably the first one that actually speaks Italian. I think all the others were just of heritage.
Right. It's rare.
It is rare.
And a lot of people claim the Italian heritage, but not everyone can speak.
You know, it's interesting. Earlier, before the show, Marco and I were talking about how life develops and how we change, right? And so we heard Kate's story. Now yours, I mean, you started off here, you went to Italy, and then, you know, you came back and you had opportunity to develop other things, but you know, you're supposed to be a this and you should be a that. And can we talk a little bit about that?
Of course. Yeah. Well, you know, when you grow up in an immigrant family, right, there's a lot of things you're supposed to be, right?
And a musician is not one of them.
Normally, anything artistic is not one of those. But you know what? I was pretty lucky. I think eventually they adapted to the fact that I didn't beat to that that normal drum.
Well, actually, kind of like Cade, because he still does the racing and the stunts and yeah. the acting and all that and the business.
And he's a businessman. Yeah,
you're a businessman. Really, you're a business owner, yeah, and yeah. you and you're doing well at that, and your music's doing well. And so let's talk about that. Actually, you wrote a great. Actually, is it on? It's on your website, right? So if yeah. people went to MarcoAiellomusic.com, so Marco, MARCO, Aiello, AIELLO, music.com, they could read about you, and then on your blog, right? He's right. got a blog going.
Right.
You wrote something really interesting about music, sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
About silence.
About silence. And you know, as Cade was speaking, At first I was like, why am I on this show? Right? You know, you guys were talking about that. Why are we here? And the more he was speaking, the more I just understood, you know, the correlation between us. This record that I wrote is really, I wrote as a support path for exactly what you were just talking about, which is the path to the heart. You know, how do we get to that vulnerability? And a lot of us need some violent things to happen for that, you know, to finally get it. But I wanted to make a spiritual record that wasn't spiritual in the sense of a lot of spiritual records I've heard are just kind of preaching to the choir, right? Mm-hmm. But a spiritual record for those of us that maybe aren't spiritual or really flawed and need some assistance. And so the record, I think, asks a lot of questions rather than giving answers. And
you're talking about August Light.
Yeah.
And that just came out on your birthday, actually, August 11th.
That's right, August 11th.
And so you're going to play us, are both the songs you're going to play from August Light?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So before we get into that, can we talk about silence? Because we
yeah.
got off the track. So let's talk about your blog comment. I think that was awesome what you wrote. So
the fact that, you know, wow, it's a big topic, silence.
Yeah.
The path to finding vulnerability or creative expression or anything that's a deeper, more noble path has to be supported by silence and stillness. Mm. And that sounds, that can sound a little woo-woo. Right. But really, in the blog, I talk about my experience with deaf filmmakers and how that experience of silence really impacted my understanding that, you know, what we're doing in our expressions, the physical, tangible sides of it are such a small percentage of what's really going on. You know, the real thing that's happening is unseen, is unheard. It's something deep within a human soul, you know, and I think Cade was just really showing us that in a way that helps us see it, you know. It was like this transformation from someone who had to really surpass the physical, you know. And so that's
David Hawkins has a quote that you were just reminded me of that I love, and it's that the doorway to divinity can be experienced at the direct moment in between two thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. The space between two thoughts.
Right.
Right.
Mm. And you actually quote Eckhart Tolle, right?
I do, in that blog, yeah.
Right. And do you remember that when you become aware of silence, immediately there is a state of inner stillness, alertness. You are present. You have stepped outside of thousands of years of collective human conditioning.
Right. But, you know, I mean, this stuff is, you know, the cognitive side of it is one thing, but, you know, and then I was always like, yeah, but how, right? But how? And so I really tried to make a record that, like, that was like, well, maybe it's this. Maybe this is how, you know? That was just my huge undertaking of like, well, what if rather than trying to just conquer it with the mind, we could plant some seeds in people or in myself And that could take, and maybe, you know, those ripples could become waves somewhere down the line.
Well, let's hear, feel those seas. Okay. What is the first song we're going to hear?
This is called Come Home.
Come Home?
Yeah.
So here's Marco Aiello singing Come Home from August Light on the Life Changes Show.
I told you, come a little closer. What if I hold you, pull you into me? What if I kiss you and kiss you, kiss you? What if I told you I'm coming home? I don't know what I'm doing. So show me the way. We were running, only finding. Love's a game we never win. So come on, take me. Just want to come home, come home. What if I need you? Stay here with me. What if I want you? We can fight. What if I love you? I can make you see. I don't know what I'm doing. So show me the way. We were running, only finding. Love's a game we never win. So come on, take me. Just want to come home, come home. I just want to come home, baby. I just want to come home, baby. I just want to come home, baby. I just
Marco Aiello, nice job.
Wow.
Thanks. So that's Come Home from
Come Home.
August Light. Nice. I know people ask you where you got your sound from.
I got it on Sunset Boulevard back in 97.
Some people maybe, but not sure.
I got to say, that was a show. Oh my, that was one of my favorite new songs for sure. And
oh,
the
you,
way
man.
You play that guitar and your presence is wow. I am blown away. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Agreed.
That resonates with me on every level. Thank you.
Reciprocal. I was over there just taking in the show before, and it's good show. Good show. My sound, you know, I get a lot that, oh, you have a really original sound, or what is that? And for me, it's not that original because it just feels familiar. Mm-hmm. But I, you know,
because it's you.
Well, because I grew up listening to an interesting blend of music. You mentioned that I'm Italian, and so when I was really young, my dad would listen to American rock, and you know, the classics, the Stones, Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. You know, like that was the stuff I grew up on. But he also listened to a lot of Italian music, Italian folk rock artist that most people have never heard. And so I think the two blended. And so I don't think my sound is that, you know, original as far as me doing something unique, but I think it's maybe unfamiliar to, you know, ears in the States.
So. I think it's uniquely yours.
Well, thank you.
You actually said at one point, you don't come up with a sound. Your sound is a reflection of who you are and what your soul is here to express.
Well, that's well written.
that's a quote by Marco Aiello.
Maybe instead of interviewing me, you should just read from my website. That would be much more eloquent.
No, I mean, actually, what you said is important too. I'm just adding to it.
I like that.
You like that?
Adding
yeah.
to your words. Yeah,
you
with
can
your words.
Have that. That's yours.
I can use that.
You can okay. use it.
That's great.
It's yours. All right. So what are we going to hear next? I'm glad I've inspired you, Marco. What are we going to hear next?
Thank you.
Wait, so what? Marco Aiello Music. So yes. Aiello is A-I-E-L-L-O. So Marco is M-A-R-C-O. Marco Aiello Music .com. The CD is August Light. It's still fresh, brand new as it came out in August. And where can people get it? At the website? And?
You can get it on iTunes, Amazon. You can stream it. I mean, it's available.
It's available.
It's out there. So,
and it's great.
If you go to my website, it'll direct you. And I'd love to, you know, hear from anyone if the music has moved you in any kind of way.
Well, move us again.
It's moved me.
Yes.
Right now. Right.
Wow. More movement, please.
Yes, move us again. Okay. So, what are we going to hear now?
So, we're going to hear "Baby, Don't Run."
Okay, so these both sound like they're about relationships, although they could definitely be about personal relationship or relationship with.
Well, yeah. Well, these two songs are early in the record, and they are a little bit more easier to let's say assimilate. They do translate well into a story of boy meets girl or typical relationship, but. There's definitely, you know, more subtlety going on there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. So this is what?
This is called "Baby Don't Run."
Baby Don't Run. Marco mm-hmm. Aiello singing mm-hmm. "Baby Don't Run" from August Light on the Life Changes Show.
I see it in your eyes. You can't decide which way it should go. Talking and talking and talking, but what was said, I don't know. It's a war between the thoughts inside your head against your heart. Such an ugly scene, the odds have been against us from the start. It's not a fight that can be won. So baby, don't run. Baby, don't run. No, no, no. I wanna tell you that I love you and that things will be fine. You're getting crazy cause you know deep down your heart is mine. Feels just like a dream. I watch you get your things and find the door. Such a funny scene, cause when you come right back I want you more. It's not a fight that can be won. Baby, don't run. Baby, don't run. No, no, no. Baby, don't run. No. Baby, don't run. No, 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 no. Baby, don't run. It doesn't matter if you're halfway in or out. My heart is racing, but the only thing I'm missing is doubt. Drop your defense and I will ease your mind, cause I give you kindness, warmth, and fun. Just baby, don't run. Baby, don't run. No, no, no. Baby, don't run. Baby, don't run. No, 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 no. Baby, don't run. No, 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 no. Baby, don't run. No, 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 no. Baby, don't.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right. Nice. Marco Aiello, songs from August Light, his latest CD. Go to marcoaiellomusic.com. If you forget how to spell it, you can always find him at lifechangesnetwork.com. Marco,
that is easier to spell. Life Changes Network. Yeah. Right. It sucks. The names we were. I mean,
why
cool
do you think
names,
Filippo Voltaggio isn't on the list?
Yeah, I've tried spelling that so many times. I was...
Oh my!
It's a pleasure seeing you, having you here, and you know what? I saw you play a long time ago, actually, and. You're playing. I mean, you're doing things I haven't seen. I don't remember seeing anybody do on the guitar before.
Anyone ever?
No, I don't. Some of that stuff you're doing.
Yeah,
I thought that was very cool.
Well, thank you.
Don't you think it's cool?
I think it's cool. I think if you're in the LA area, you should come to my show November 21st at Genghis Cohen. I'm doing a show. So.
Oh, well, very cool.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm trying to
tell
you here.
I forgot to tell you to mention it, but okay. Yeah.
Well, I think you just did. And so people can go to marcoaiellomusic.com and get the dates. And
I think my opening act is going to be motorcycle yoga.
Yeah.
Well, it will definitely be there.
We're going to talk about
it. It will definitely be there.
I love it. Okay. Marco, meet Cade. Cade, meet Marco.
It was an honor to meet you.
And now all are definitely friends. All right. So with that, this has been a great pleasure. Thank you, Marco Aiello. Thank you, Cade Currier. And thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo. I have to say, we've had so many people say how the music sounds amazing, and we have great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the first show I've done, but yeah, the mix is great. He's great. Wow.
Yes. So, yes, he is. Thank you. Thank you, Brent. Thank you, Brent. Okay, and with that, thank you also to Doug Newson at BBS Radio and to our executive producer, Dothy Donahue. Thank you, Mark Legere, our co-host, and I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, as ours just obviously did, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.